what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get. And you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. Will be with you live for the next 2 hours on this 10th day of January 2006. I can say that for the rest of the year, 2006, and I'm not going to be any more used to it at the end of the year as I am at the beginning of it. At any rate, on today's program, I've got a guest coming up, Anthony Gregory from the Future of Freedom Foundation. It's an outfit that they cover a lot of different subjects, but today with Anthony Gregory, we're going to be talking about corporatism versus liberty in the 19th century, among other little topics. What has happened in America? And folks, I don't think you've heard the ads running on this network, Free Trade Area of the Americas. And we've had this big sell to businesses through government that it's okay to diversify. Diversify to the point where, well, in order to make a greater profit and to combat what your competitors are doing, well, we've all got to jump in that same boat. After all, we can't have the Bismarck fighting the unarmed Titanic, can't we? But both of them went down anyhow. It doesn't matter. So we're going to get into a discussion here about corporatism and socialism in America and how this thing has come about. And I think this will be very, very interesting for folks. I hope it is anyhow. By the way, yesterday somebody called into the program and said that we now have the Snitch Online program. He said, it's no joke. Last Thursday, President Bush signed into law a prohibition of posting annoying web messages or sending annoying email message without disclosing your true identity. Sending an annoying email, does that mean that I can't bug my politicians sending them an email? I always identify myself. I'm not afraid of who I am, and I could give a hoot less what some cheap bot politician thinks. But it's a little bit more dangerous than that. In other words, it's okay to flame someone on a mailing list or in a blog as long as you do it under your real name. Thank Congress for small favors. This is a ridiculous prohibition which would likely imperil much of the Usernet. Is buried the so-called Violence Against Women and Department of Justice Reauthorization Act. Criminal penalties include stiff fines and years in prison. Now, the use of the word annoy is particularly problematic, says Marv Johnson, legislative counsel for the American, that's our buds, Civil Liberties Union. What's annoying to one person may not be annoying to somebody else. It's illegal to annoy. The new federal law states that when you annoy someone on the Internet, you must disclose your identity. And it gets into the relevant positions or points of the bill. It's all going to be regulated by the Fed, folks. It's okay. If you do no harm, there's no foul, and there'll be no penalty in years in jail. they're just looking out after all of us. We'll take a break, come back on the other side with Anthony Gregory from the Future of Freedom Foundation.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife Frequency Technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Bright discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBM, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We have a strange mix in this country, ladies and gentlemen, socioeconomic. We have a little bit of socialism. We have a little bit of communism. We have a little bit of capitalism. And let's not forget fascism. Now, I've said this before. I don't like ist or isms. I like a laissez-faire type of free economy. Capitalism is what the communists called our system. We called theirs communism, but be that as it may. We're not dealing anymore with free market anything. It looks like the Federalists got their way in Washington, D.C., and especially since the Civil War, when Reconstruction, you know, when our own country went to war with itself, the end result of that was concentration of power in Washington, D.C., and just like the Federalists wanted it from the start. I have with me today Anthony Gregory from the Future of Freedom Foundation. Good afternoon, Anthony. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, John. It's good to be with you. I'm doing good.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. I hope your new year is starting out well. The Future of Freedom Foundation, what is the organization and why does it do what it does?
Well, it's an organization in Fairfax, Virginia. That's where it's located. It was founded by Jacob Hornberger, who's currently its president. And the purpose of the organization is to advance liberty, the moral, legal, ethical, and practical case for liberty and free markets. peace in foreign policy, peaceful relations with all nations and entangling alliances with none. You know, basically the supposed principles, the founding principles of this country, though, we see in most presidencies, and especially in the current one, the country drifting from those principles. So it's basically, you know, it's an organization interested in freedom.
Well, when we talk about freedom, one doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with the other. Now, in this country, we almost didn't have the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Luckily, that was put in there. Some people have derided the Constitution because it was basically won over by the Federalists and not the Anti-Federalists. What we've been witnessing here since day one in this country is an incremental concentration of power and authority back in to Washington, D.C. And I don't think this has boded well for anybody. War on drugs, war on terror, war on ignorance, war on anything. Anytime that the federal government declares war on something, it seems to be winning. They don't defeat the enemy. The enemy wins over us. Now, there's a couple separate issues here. There's one of economic freedom and the ability to contract and to do business outside of government regulation. And then there's a personal freedom and liberty, which we equate to our God-given, unalienable, unchangeable rights by the government. The government doesn't grant us our freedom. God did that, and they were supposed to be there as watchdogs to protect it. But, again, that has not happened either. The future of Freedom Foundation, what is their main thrust points here on what is wrong, and why do they feel that it is wrong?
Well, the key principle, if you bring it all down to one, is probably it's the libertarian principle of self-ownership, that people have a right to do what they want as long as it's peaceful and voluntary. They have a right to engage in commercial activities with other people as long as they're consensual, and personal activities, and that really it's wrong to initiate aggression on people. And the political implication of this would be, of course, much, much more limited government than what we have. I mean, government is it's a monopoly on force. And as you mentioned, the Bill of Rights was meant to limit the government in its powers. And so the political program that stems from the principle of liberty would be a government as small as possible that doesn't intrude on people's rights.
Well, and a lot of people really don't understand. People in the private sector, people that are just working for somebody else, working for a company or a corporation or working for a small business, whatever, they don't know the intricacies and the trappings of government and regulation. They're not aware of it at all. We have, from time to time, seen firsthand, Anthony, government waste. Okay, and when we say waste, I mean, we could do a 15-hour program without commercial break on that one alone. But a lot of people don't understand. Even business owners don't understand the government and how it got itself into so much debt. A couple of years ago, and my listeners are well aware of this, a couple of years ago, I read a little short paragraph out of a newspaper. I think it was published in the Austin American Statesman, and which it said, it was just a small paragraph saying that the debts and obligations of the U.S. government, past, present, and future obligations, was $51 trillion. Now, that was a lowball figure. Just as they keep saying that there's 11 million illegals in this country, actually it's four times, maybe even greater, that amount. But the point is that it's probably closer to $70 to $100 trillion that in debt and obligation. I'm a little amazed that people do not understand. I mean, they keep looking at the national debt, supposedly our comeuppance for the wonderful social programs they've come up with, some $8 trillion. That doesn't even begin to touch what the real debt this government has got us into. How do we get past that. That we can't repay it. We can't take that dead instrument and repay it with a dead instrument because the juice is still running. The banks put that usury on there, or as we call it, interest. It's in their best interest, not ours. But the clock keeps running on this. How are we supposed to get out of this? How are we supposed to be able to do business when the number one detractor of good business practice is the very people we're talking about, the United States government?
Well, it's true that if you count the unfunded liabilities for these entitlement programs, it does run into the tens of trillions. But and of course, it is impossible. It's impossible by any stretch of my imagination that all of this can be paid. There's something is going to give as far as paying back the debt is concerned. There are a lot of schools of thought on this. The federal government, of course, has trillions of dollars in assets, including ones that aren't even being used, and almost none of the assets are being used for any constitutional purpose. So the federal government can liquidate to pay back some. The economist Murray Rothbard argued that lending money to the government didn't necessarily entail you to get it back, because it's basically, when you lend money to the government, you're doing so under the expectation that the government will take the money from taxpayers in the future to pay you back. So it's really kind of conspiring in theft. So perhaps a default will have to be at least part of the picture. But the first step in any of this is to stop spending so much. The federal government simply needs to needs to stop doing what it's doing. And Mr. Bush has been expanding the government far faster than any president since at least the Johnson-Nixon days.
Well, and actually, let me throw this in, Anthony. He has spent more money. I read an article one day on the air from an economist. He has spent more money than all presidents combined since our beginning.
Yeah, I read something along those lines, too, and yeah. I guess if you go by nominal terms, that might be the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to measure wealth. Certainly the gross domestic product is a little bit misleading, because even it includes government expenditures, which aren't necessarily the same as private income, and also we have inflation. We've had massive inflation for certainly since the Federal Reserve System was established, and even before that. So it's hard to know what a dollar today really means.
And well, that's true.
You can use all kinds of, you know, consumer price and indices and all kinds of means to estimate it, but there's no way to really be sure about any of this, though.
Well, and it used to be that we dealt with a monetary system. I mean, supposedly we had this banking crisis back prior to 1913, and in order to, well, just do away with all this financial strife and all this anxiety out there, what we needed to do is we needed to turn that banking and the responsibility of setting weights and measures that Congress, by the Constitution, says it was supposed to. Basically, we turned our banking system over to the International Monetary Fund people, which by its very nature is self-destructive with any country or any economy that ever touches it. When you talk about inflation, it's actually basically a devaluation. The dollar is worth less than 4 cents on the dollar. This is why a lot of people are not buying our debt anymore. The government's having a hard time selling its debt through T-bills and whatever else. People don't want to deal with it anymore. They're switching over to euros or other currencies. I guess have we had a downgrade in Standard & Poor's here as far as the government has gone?
I didn't catch the last.
Yeah, in other words, financially, we're not viewed as being very fiscally responsible or having a currency that's worth a hoot to the eyes of the other people in the world.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, the Asian central banks, they're still buying the debt, but that might not. I mean, it can't last forever. Eventually, there's going to be big problems.
It's coming. I'll tell you what, so's this break coming. We've got to take this break. We'll be back on the other side with my guest today, Anthony Gregory from the Future of Freedom Foundation. We'll be right back.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
We're back. Anthony, you've got a lot of daily authors that write for Future of Freedom Foundation. You've got James Bovard, Scott McPherson. Those are names that I recognize. I also was looking at your site, Jacob Hornberger. He wrote a book back in the middle 90s extolling some of the virtues of free trade. Do you have the knowledge to comment on that? Or?
Well, I know that the Future of Freedom Foundation put out a book. It was, I believe it was a collection of previously published articles on the topic. I mean, I know that. I mean, yes, the Future of Freedom Foundation is in favor of free trade. Which, of course, shouldn't be confused with bureaucratic corporate-managed trade.
Well, then they should come up with a new term, because free trade is the one that they, I think they have a patent on that or something, or copyrighted protections.
Well, I don't know. I mean, just because, I mean, the president talks all about bringing freedom to Iraq, it doesn't mean that freedom is the same as checkpoints and curfews and gun control. And, you know, of course, the left has their own version of what freedom is, and Marxists have they call fascism capitalism. So everyone likes to use words to their advantage in making their political point. But I believe that free trade can be salvaged as meaning It's just the unadulterated freedom of two people or two parties to trade with each other without someone sticking a gun in their face and saying they can't do it, which is, of course, what the government does when it puts up a trade barrier.
Well, and none of this has worked out to our advantage. I mean, we run ads on this network for Free Trade Area of Americas, telling people to resist that one. We were sold a bill of goods on NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. It should have been a blaring sound when the politicians start mouthing the words that we're going to level the playing field. And most idealistic Americans heard something like that and they thought, oh, that means the Mexicans are going to do so much better on this deal. No, they didn't. Leveling the playing field, we need to reduce our status to a third world country. And, you know, Anthony, be honest, we set the standard that the world has never seen before. Using a great economic engine unfettered by government, we became literally the richest, most powerful nation on the face of the earth. And we did that because we had minds and we could conceive things and we could put them in production and we could make things and we could do all these wonderful things. And we set a standard, a living standard that the world had never seen before. Now, this doesn't fit well with their global governance scheme. We've got problems here in this country, and I mean, the list is endless, but we've got some serious problems here. We're losing a standard of living. We're losing our manufacturing base. We're losing companies right and left. But nobody out there worry, because what we have now is the cheap labor market ready and in place, 40 million plus of them sitting here undocumented in our country right now. So nobody needs to worry about this. And by the way, the left-right paradigm, I don't get into the left-right paradigm, because as wrong as the left is, the right is just as stupid. We've got a bunch of neocons now running our government and doing the bidding for I don't know whom, but it's certainly not the American people. We're massively in debt. Our freedoms are being eroded at any given turn. And, yeah, I guess we could chalk this up to just overreaching federal bureaucracies wanting to do the best from cradle to grave. But we've got some very serious problems here, and we need to start talking about solutions to these problems, because just talking this won't make it go away.
Well, I certainly agree that the United States had a very relatively free economy, but I believe it's a mistake to say that it was totally less laissez-faire. There were always more restrictions than there should have been, and that did lead to unseen prosperity. The U.S., of course, in the late 19th century, despite, you know, some railroad subsidies and other ugly intrusions into freedom and into the free market, it had a much smaller federal government. I mean, infinitesimal compared to what we have now. There was no federal gun control or federal war on drugs or federal entitlement programs of any real significance, and it was very good. And there, and of course, the trade too. To get back to that was one issue that the classical liberals of the 19th century, who believed in less government, also tended to believe in more liberal policies on trade and on immigration. But now, because of all the regulation and welfare, people often blame globalization for our problems. But really, the problems are with socialism and with interventionism, and I agree with you that the right is in no sense better than the left. In some ways, the right is worse, especially when it has power. The right is better at using the rhetoric of free markets to mask their interventionism into the market. And if you look at the Republican administrations over the years, they were almost all big government administrations, and they really were the big government party of the 19th century and into the 20th.
All right, we've got to take a break. We've got a long segment coming up. Sorry about all these interruptions here. We'll continue this conversation with my guest today, Anthony Gregory, and we'll start to nail some things down, folks. I promise you, right after this.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities, the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. Yeah! That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
We now have a government that decrees by executive order. We now have a government that does everything by policy or by statute. Very little has to do with the Constitution, and that is readily apparent in the latest go-round here with our great president, Mr. Bush. folks, he wants to spy on people, be able to tap people's phones without FISA court orders. The thing is out of control. This government has been out of control and getting larger and assuming more power. They're not reading the same documents that we are. Limited government, absolutely limited. I read the Constitution. I don't see anything in there about entitlements and which people now born in this country feel that the government owes them something. And that has never been the case. They are not a chartered organization to set up retirement benefits or medical services or anything of that sort. And, of course, what they do is get into it and just run it to the nth degree. They don't run it efficiently. They don't do anything efficiently. By the way, Anthony, about 10 years ago, we sat down and figured out on Medicare and Medicaid, with the amount of money that they spend per year, with the number of people that were on its rolls, that they literally could have written $1 million check to every one of the Medicaid, Medicare recipients give them $1 million with a little caveat and a little note to expect nothing further from the federal government. You're now on your own. And at which time they could have shut down Medicare and Medicaid fraud that's going on. But that doesn't seem to be the case. This seems to be more of a scare tactic as a vote getter than anything else. Every election cycle, you know, the other side's trying to take your benefits away from you and this, that, and the other. It's out of control. But what is really out of control, or not in control, I should say, is the people's learning curve as to distinguish what our government is supposed to be, never mind if they're doing it efficiently or not, whether they should be involved within it or not.
Well, sure, and of course the government has no legitimate role in retirement, in insurance, as it's euphemistically called, or in subsidizing drugs for seniors. And this is interesting because with the Bush presidency, we've seen the greatest expansion of Medicare in the entitlement state since the Great Society. And it was also kind of a giveaway to the pharmaceutical companies with which the Republicans are so closely associated. And it was fascinating that although there was a little bit of perfunctory criticism and hesitation, so much of the Republican establishment went along with it, and the conservative establishment polemicists and writers and journalists, they'll criticize it, but I would dare say they'd probably be more critical of the same policy under a Democrat. And it's very unfortunate, because when the Republicans do this, there's not that much opposition. The Democrats voted against it, but all their reasons were not the fundamental reason to vote against such a measure, which is that the government shouldn't be doing any of this stuff in the first place. It doesn't have the money. We don't have the money. It's, aside from it being unconstitutional, and it's very impractical. And when the government suspends or attempts to suspend the laws of economics by guaranteeing profits and guaranteeing entitlements to people, there's no accountability. I mean, this is all elementary. But it doesn't seem that there's going to be a political solution coming from either of the two major parties anytime soon.
Well, they're trying to pander for the very same votes. I mean, it's amazing to me. You described the federal government, and I would consider them to be a middleman in healthcare. And I've said this often on this program. In healthcare, we used to have a direct pay system. In other words, years ago, when your wife was getting ready to have a baby, she would go to the hospital, birth the baby. If you didn't have the money to cover, I mean, the first thing they would say to you when you came into their establishment, and it is a business, it was not your name or what your complaint or ailment was. It was who's your insurance carrier. But years ago, they would perform services, and they had their own accounts receivable and payables department. You could set up terms, and you could pay off the debt for that pregnancy to the hospital. But now we have insurance companies playing middlemen. And how much of those dollars that what you're paying in is actually going for direct health care rather than floating their business, because they're in the business of health care. And everything is escalated out of control. Now we're at the point where we've got to rig a scam through the government that these seniors that can't afford these overpriced medications, that, we're just going to go in there and the government's going to subsidize the drug companies. I think the drug companies were doing okay by themselves before, don't you?
Well, sure, I do. Of course, I also think they've got a little bit of an unfair burden, which, somewhat ironically, to those who don't understand the way this all works, has helped the big pharmaceutical companies and pushed all the small ones out of the market, which is the FDA. The FDA has an incredibly expensive process you have to go to bring a drug to market. The companies, they test their own drugs, but they have to go through this bureaucracy for years, and it costs hundreds of millions of dollars. It's very expensive. and only the biggest companies can afford it. So there's give and take there. And, of course, before the feds intervened so much in healthcare, America had the best healthcare system in the world, and most people, the vast majority of people, had health insurance. A lot of people who didn't have it didn't really want it because it wasn't a good deal for, you know, young people, for healthy people. The way it is now, with insurance mandated to cover everything under the sun, due to a complicated litany of labor and tax regulation, it's kind of like you need it just to get by, but it doesn't make sense to have insurance just for a doctor's visit. That used to be the kind of thing you could afford just with a couple days worth of pay rather than a month's worth.
Well, sure, and of course, what's the incentive? If people have health care insurance, and I've made this analogy before, if you have a car and you don't have any insurance on it and you get in an accident, you're out of car. If you don't have insurance, you may be sued, in which case it's going to come out of your pot, but not theirs. But the bottom line to this is, if somebody is not insured, they don't have this devil may care, oh, the insurance company will take care of it if I get in trouble. The better thing is not to get into that accident. And I would say the same thing goes for health care. Where is the individual responsibility for the individual to take care of themselves rather than demanding of a program? And here's where we're going with this, folks. You've seen the government in cahoots with the drug companies. Everything is escalating. It's not going to be too distant in the future that most Americans, and I'm not joking about this, will think Hillary, it takes a village idiot to run the country, Clinton, her plan for national health care is going to be making sense to some people because they can't afford it as it stands right now.
Well, yeah, I hear a lot of proponents of national health care, which is it's a terrible idea, but they point out that Americans spend more per capita than some of the more socialist countries, and it's because we don't have a free market at all. We have kind of this middle way corporatist program, which does funnel a lot of money to certain private interests. And again, those private interests don't pocket the entire amount because a lot of it goes to waste and just bureaucracy and fees. And it's really terrible. The entire licensing of medicine is a barrier to entry for a lot of people who might not need a few years of education if all they want to do is learn how to do certain medical, perform certain medical services. But we've got a one-size-fits-all
sure
licensing system. The whole thing's a racket.
Well, and
it's a fraud and it's a waste.
Yeah, Anthony, if you look at it, I mean, is being a doctor in this country illegal? No, of course it isn't. Is practicing doing medical advice or practicing medicine, anything like that, that's not illegal to do. But you have to have a license in order to do that. And I can understand some proponents for licensing is to get rid of the people out there that, were just witch doctors and charlatans and whatever else. And there is a bit of truth to that. But by and large, that was not the problem with this. Licensing is basically declaring what was illegal, once you have that piece of paper, that permission from the state or the government, that it is now illegal. So I am to take this, that if doctors and all this has to be licensed and regulated and everything else, then the whole thing is illegal to begin with unless you have permission from the government.
Yeah, and again, it's another violation of people's inalienable rights to self-medicate and to medicate, to get their medical services from people on the free market. It's an enormous intrusion into the marketplace and into people's lives, and it's fatal. The FDA and its process of keeping drugs off the market, because its bias is toward keeping anything off that might have any negative side effects, but there's because the FDA looks worse if it approves something that hurts people than if it keeps something off the market that would save people, because these are unseen costs. And so, you know, many economists have have concluded that the FDA's process has killed thousands and thousands of Americans over the years, far more than could be attributed to the FDA saving lives.
Here's a classic example. The FDA did something correctly when aspartame came around. They looked at this and said, "Nope, we're not gonna give you permission to market this to the people here in this country." Enter in Donald Rumsfeld. We call this Rumsfeld disease. Aspartame is probably one of the most toxic substances, and it is a drug. It's one of the most toxic drugs out there in the marketplace. But we've got millions of Americans swilling this stuff by millions of gallons just in diet sodas alone. I mean, aspartame is ending up in everything. But what happened here is, well, Donnie Rumsfeld got in the mix. Some quick-o change-o things happened with the Food and Drug Administration. There's major lawsuits going on about this in California, but not one peep out of the media. Well, of course, they're not going to run stories on Pepsi or Coca-Cola that use aspartame, because these are the people that funnel millions of dollars into their business. So here we are, at the end of this, getting the business from the people that just want to keep doing business. But we're really ending up the damaged party here. I don't know if you know anything about aspartame and the effects on the human body, but it is absolutely devastating. But yet the stuff is pumped into all of our manufactured and processed products, and we're consuming them by the zillions of pounds and the millions of gallons of this stuff.
Well, I certainly don't advocate the government forbidding people from selling things to consumers who know what they're getting, but it is true that under the current system, it's really interesting, the drugs that the government permits people to use, the drugs the government subsidizes, those the government promotes, and those that it forbids. And you can find all kinds of disparities. Aspirin would probably fail under the FDA's guidelines. So I read recently the FDA finally looked at it for some uses, but there are a lot of legal drugs, nicotine and alcohol, that are dangerous. But I think the answer is, personal responsibility. And if we had a free market and all of this stuff, and a culture of individual responsibility and liberty, I would expect people to be a lot more cautious and a lot more thoughtful about what they purchase and what they use, because they wouldn't
There's a problem there. There's a problem. I mean, I'm all for the personal responsibility thing. By the way, I checked with I've been checking with some homeopathic people about cigarettes, and I was asked, well, do you have a particular brand in mind? And I said, yeah, American Spirit cigarettes. And they said, oh, that's fine, because it's all natural. Yeah, it's got nicotine, but it doesn't have burning agents and all kinds of chemicals in there. It's a natural tobacco product, far less hazardous than your regular cigarettes that are, they've got so much stuff in them, folks, you don't even want to know about it. But the point of it is that if somebody is going to make a product, and I think Winston Cigarettes, if you remember several years ago, and this is about 7 or 8 years ago, they came out with their ad campaign for Winston Cigarettes with all natural ingredients, and I think their ad campaign was No Bull. And I thought, well, gee, that's a wonderful thing. But then I thought about it, and I thought, well, what about the other products that this company makes that aren't on the same playing field? Well, that ran for a little while, and all of a sudden it went away. But here's my question. If we're supposed to be responsible people, and we've got people just shining us on, not giving and disclosing facts, how then do we force people to do that, and through what mechanism? Because if you're not for government control, and I'm not either, now this is a legitimate question, if we're supposed to be responsible, are we not supposed to make up our mind by the information provided? Who's going to give it to us, and who's going to make sure that we get it?
Well, there are always going to be people who make decisions that we might consider foolish or bad, but the market does, to a large extent, correct itself when there are serious problems. Coca-Cola used to have cocaine in its recipe in the early 20th century, and it took the cocaine out due to market pressure, not because of the government. The government finally outlawed it or seriously restricted it in 1914, but before that, Coca-Cola took it out, and And, you know, before the federal regulations on tobacco advertising, cigarettes were getting safer. They introduced filters because they could advertise them. I mean, the market does, it's not perfect. I mean, all human relationships and organizations aren't totally perfect, but it's as close as we can get, and people need to be responsible, and there's no total solution, but the only alternative we can have to freedom is the state, you know, paternalistically controlling us and deciding what we can do, and that's far more dangerous than, I'd say far more dangerous than aspartame, though. I don't know.
I don't know about that one, but at any rate, we'll take a break here. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. We'll entertain your phone calls after this break, and my guest today from the Future of Freedom Foundation is none other than Anthony Gregory. We'll be right back.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
A reminder to folks out there, and also mention this again next hour, True Seekers meeting down here in Austin, Texas at Tres Amigos. That's at 290 and 183 down there, right on near 35. Tex Mars on his new book, Codex Magica. And folks, if you heard him on this broadcast last week and you haven't gotten a copy of this book, you should do that. That's going to be at 7 p.m. starting at Tres Amigos. That's January 10th. That's tonight, Tuesday, And it's going to be at 290 and 183 down here in Austin, Texas. Let's go to the phones with my guest today. Let's first go to Arizona, Julius in Arizona. Hello, Julius.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Thanks for the intro there. I just had to shut off my tractor, so I'm now able to talk to you better, and I can actually hear you.
Okay.
That was a good pause you made. I'd like to ask a question, since we're talking about government and regulations that don't work and governments that don't work and courts that don't work. I'd like to ask our guests, when was the first time our government really went wrong? When did we really violate our Constitution in a big way, and who did it?
Well, I don't want to sound cynical, but I'd say that the first president that seriously violated it was George Washington.
I'd have to agree with you.
I think suppressing the Whiskey Rebellion and signing off the First National Bank were not constitutional. They were not good things. John Adams, of course, had the Alien and Sedition Act, and Thomas Jefferson did a lot of extra constitutional things. The Louisiana Purchase wasn't totally on the up and up. It seems, and it looks like he was aware at times that he was pushing the boundaries of the Constitution. It goes on and on, but that's the answer if you want to hold these people to a very high standard. I'd say the first time the Constitution was completely abandoned, not just violated, but really set aside, was under Lincoln, who, to wage his war, he conducted all sorts of civil liberties violations in the North without any constitutional authority, censorship, rounding up protesters, firing in the draft riot in New York. And then after him, I'd say there was hope for going back to a roughly constitutional system, though he did suspend the principal check on the central state, which was the principle of secession. There was still a semblance of constitutionalism after his administration, especially after Reconstruction. But that was suspended by, Teddy Roosevelt, and then more so by Wilson and Franklin Roosevelt. And then from then on, the Constitution was the exception rather than the rule.
I'd have to agree with you, Anthony. In my book, I'd say that Washington did us no favors by sending out federal troops to collect tax money and stop the Whiskey Rebellion. Had we had a little more honor for the rule of law and an equitable tax across the board, we might have had a situation where the states would have had more voice in controlling the federal government right from the get-go.
Rather than it being the other way around, yeah.
Yeah, the Articles of Confederation pretty much did that anyways.
Well, that's true, and the most of the true revolutionaries thought the Constitution was reactionary. Even Thomas Jefferson, who wasn't as good as some of the more radical people of his generation, but he was certainly better than the Hamiltons.
Julius, hang on there a second. We got to take the break. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up for international shortwave listeners. 50-50 on your dial. We'll be right back.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.